In the name of Jesus, I testify here this morning. This morning, I would like to share with you a lesson that God taught me in my life. As you know, I have been in a church since I was a baby. And I also believe many of you have been in this church for a long time. A lot of you is very, it seemed like me, you know, we were all in this church, you know, for a long time. And our constant struggle is that we have heard a lot of sermons. We learn a lot through the religious education, through every Sabbath services. But our constant struggle is that the good that we intend and we desire to do, we constantly feel that we can't. And I believe no one could say this better than Apostle Paul in Romans. Let's turn to Romans chapter 7. Book of Romans chapter 7, verse 15. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. This perfectly describes our daily struggle. We all intended to do good, but we can't. If we read further on the verse 17 as it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is the sin living in me. Sometimes he felt the part of him that does something against his will is not him. It is the sinful nature, the sin living in him did it, not him. Then we continue on the verse 18. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. This is Paul's constant struggles, and it is also my constant struggles. In 1997, after a major surgery, after I had my a lobe of my thyroid removed, I had an extensive time to stay home, which is a very unusual experience in my life, because as a working mom, and I also had a very demanding job in the office, and that practically took up 100% of my life. I rarely have any time to stay at home, but in 1997, I found myself in a situation that I was forced to stay home, because I am a very active person. I would never choose to stay home unless I was forced. In this case, I was forced to stay home. As I stay home, many things went through my mind. At that point of my life, I realized something is not right in my life. And yet, I don't know what went wrong and what was wrong. Every day I sit in a bed, meditating. What could have possibly gone wrong in my life? I felt that big void inside of my heart that I cannot feel. I had a lot of questions in my head that I cannot answer. So I turned to Bible. As I read Bible every day, sometimes if I read New Testament, I could understand. But sometimes when I read Old Testament, there are many times I become very confused. So many nights I kneel down before God and ask him to guide me and teach me. Because I know I need to read Bible, and yet I do not understand what I read. And that is very, very sad. So one morning, as usual, I open my Bibles, and I begin to read. I purposely open to an Old Testament book, because I know that in the past, every time when I open an Old Testament, I did not understand. So this time, I am determined. I go, God, you got to teach me. You have to teach me to understand your words before I could do your will. So I turn to 2 Kings. I'm going to ask someone to read it, you know, this, because this is going to be a long passage. 2 King. I was sitting in a chair. I flipped my Bible open. Here comes 2 Kings. I just go, okay, this is God's word. I'm just going to read this passage this morning. Richard, will you please read chapter 1 from verse 1 to verse 15.
2 Kings chapter 1, verse 1 to 15. Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab, verse 2. Now Ahaziah fell through the latest of his upper room in Samaria and was injured. So he sent messengers and said to them, "Go inquire of Baal Zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this injury." Verse 3. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, "Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say to them, 'Is it because there is no god in Israel that you are going to inquire of Baal Zebub, the god of Ekron?'" Verse 4. "Now therefore, there says the Lord, you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die." So Elijah departed. Verse 5. "And when the messengers returned to him, he said to them, 'Why have you come back?'" Verse 6. So they said to him, "A man came up to meet us and said to us, 'Go return to the king who sent you, and say to him, There says the Lord, is it because there is no god in Israel that you are sending to inquire of Baal Zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die.'" Verse 7. "Then he said to them, 'What kind of man was it who came up to meet you and told you this words?'" Verse 8. "So they answered him, 'A hairy man wearing a leather belt around his waist.' And he said, 'It is Elijah the Tishbite.'" Verse 9. "Then the king sent to him a captain of 50 with his 50 men. So he went up to him, and there he was sitting up on the top of a hill. And he spoke to him, 'Men of God, the king has said, come down.'" Verse 10. "So Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, 'If I am a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men.' And fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. 11. "And he sent to him another captain of 50 with his 50 men. And he answered and said to him, 'Men of God, there's as the king said, come down quickly.'" Verse 12. "So Elijah answered and said to them, 'If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men.' And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. 13. "Again, he sent a third captain of 50 with his 50 men. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and pleaded with him and said to him, 'Men of God, please let my life and the life of this 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight.' 14. "Look, fire has come down from heaven and burned up the first two captains of 50s with their 50s, but let my life now be precious in your sight." 15. "And the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, 'Go down with him. Do not be afraid of him.' So he arose and went down with him to the king."
And for 16. Yeah.
"And he said to him, 'There says the Lord, because you have sent messengers to inquire of Baal Zebub, the god of Ekron, is it because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die.'"
And 17.
17. "So Ahaziah died according to the word of the Lord which Elijah had spoken. Because he had no son, Jehoram became king in his place, in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah."
This was a passage I read that morning. And after I finished reading this passage, I become very confused again. I did not understand what was the teaching behind the story that I could learn from this passage. And I said inside of my heart, I thought, isn't that kind of grossly unfair that this King Ahaziah should die in bed because he failed to consult God about this matter? He did not commit any crime seriously. He simply just failed to consult with God. And then you look at verse 17. "So he died according to the word of the Lord." And I did not only learn a lesson, I began to feel very unfair about God's judgment against King Ahaziah. When I was sitting there contemplating about everything, all of a sudden, a voice a very strong voice came to me, and it went, "Caroline, did you ever consult a God in your life?" I was in shock because it was so strong. It was like someone, that message was so loud. I felt like the whole block could hear it if they could. I was sitting in a chair. The Bible dropped on the floor. And I quickly look both sides and go, "Huh?" You know? And I was very, very disturbed. I was going, What? The voice said? Did I ever consult with God in my life? And right away, my heart went, "Of course I did. I always have. What are you talking about? I always have." Then I went back to my chair. "I always have." In that, I could see that voice was very severe. It wasn't a happy voice or encouraging voice. It was a very, very severe voice. And I went back to my chair, and I further thought, "Wait a second, but if indeed I had, why would this voice say in a question mark, 'Did you ever think about it? Did you?'" And I go, maybe I did not all the time. I probably consult with, you know, maybe 50-50. Then I go, I sit back, I further thought, but wait a second, that voice was so severe. By that time I was crying, you could see the tear rolling down on my face. Go, why would he be so harsh? It sounded like I had never done such consulted with God. And I go, if I did 50-50, which 50% of my life I consult with God? I began to recollect the events in my life. And I cannot think of many events in which I check with God before I do anything. I was very, very confused. And all of a sudden, the entire Old Testament began to make sense to me. As I continued to sit in that chair, I lost track of the time. I don't know how much time it had passed, but then it became a slideshow. The Old Testament became a slideshow to me. That we know that North Kingdom Israel and South Kingdom Judah, many kings, you know, went by. One by one, it became a slideshow. This king was a good king because he followed God, he inquired God all the time. And yet the other king failed. One after another one, the king appeared in my mind, one after another one. The message was so simple. It was so simple. And yet I wonder why I was never able to see that simple message in the past, in my life. Another king came up, and he consulted God. God said he was a good king, and all the other failed. Most of the kings in Israel failed simply because of they failed. They failed to check with God every time when they made decision in their life. They failed to follow God because, number one, they failed to consult with God in the first place. I was in shock. I found myself very, very disturbing. After that, every night, I continued to sit. Whenever I found time, I sit in that chair. I went through so many nights, and I thought, how am I going to consult God in my life? I know the message is kind of clear. I need to. But I did not know how. Because as a message said, apparently, because I probably never did before, so I did not know how. So I go, to follow God, what should I do? What should I do? Then it came to my mind, a person cannot follow God if his or her decision is against God's will at the first place, or our action derived from the decision that we made. Then it reminded me a message in Isaiah. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 1. As I continue to meditate about that in a chair, and then all of a sudden a message struck my head. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11. I'm going to start. The part says, I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams and fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and the lambs and the goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you? All of a sudden, it struck me that what God really needed from all of us is a devoted heart, a heart that is 100% devoted to him. Despite all my effort in the past, although I come to Sabbath every week, although I perform some holy work in a church, I did not understand why inside of God I have no credit. Where are my credits? How come I have no credits at all? I did not understand. Didn't I come to church every Saturday? Didn't I put aside my stuff and come to church? Didn't I put aside some of my personal work and serve him? But why? Why? I have no credit in front of him. Then I realized from this message, what he needed is not a sacrifice. He does not need all these sacrifices. What he needed is a heart that is 100% devoted to him. At that point, then I began to realize, how can a person devote her heart to him? How? In which way I could show that I have changed? Now I am going to be devoting to God. As I continue to think, as a parent, as a mother, when we bring up our child, there are several parents here. I think you probably will share the same feeling. Whether your child is very smart or talented, it really doesn't matter. But what you really pressure in your heart as a parent is that every time when this child comes to you, for example, Mommy, can I go out to play? Is it okay with you? And you look, yeah, go play. That please the parent. Every time when you notice this child, he knows how to, she remembers to come to you and ask you of either your permission or your opinion. That pleased me a lot as a parent. It really doesn't matter if my child is earn a straight A at school, or she has many talents. But as long as this child remember to come to me and ask me for my advices of her life, he come to me when she's not sure every time. That pleases me a lot. And I consider this child a very, very good kid when this happened. And vice versa, I thought, in the same token, I thought, how can I show that I am devoted to God in the same fashion as I expect from my child? I would imagine God expected the same thing from all of us. What is going to please him is every time when I made any decision in my life, I remember to consult with God, to check with him. Is that okay? Is this according to God's will? I take time, I bother, I think this is important to me, and that shows my respect to God in my life. And I was very happy when I found a solution, because before that, there were so many nights I sat in a chair. I found myself very confused. I had a problem, but I did not have a solution at that time. I did not know how. I know God was not pleased with me, but I did not know how to prove to him that I could change. But then finally, I received a solution that I need to check with God for every decision that I made in my life. Now it comes to the hardest part, because since I never did that before, so when it comes to the action, the real practicing, I found it very hard, because I went, but I don't know what decision I should ask, because we make so many decisions every day, so many decisions. We all have different personality. It's me that I'm always very quick on making decisions. For some reason, I'm never confused when it comes to make decisions. I always know what I need, and I always could figure out what I need to do to achieve that. I am really confused in my life when it comes to making decisions, you know. So I go, but I'm not confused, and I do not need God's help. So now I need to change my lifestyle. I need to learn how to make decisions together with God. But what kind of decision? I need to check with him. And so I go, okay, I'm going to practice now. I'm really going to practice. So after I recovered, went back to work as usual. But every day I reminded myself I need to practice to make decision with God, to check with God on every single decision. And so it happened that about the end of that year, I came across a good opportunity to buy a house. Then I said, okay, I'm going to practice this. Buying a house, I never had to check with God before, but now I changed because God said I need to, so I will. So I began to pray. But never receive any answer from God. Go, God, should I buy this house or not? You asked me to check with you, so here I am, you know, turning myself in, checking with you. Every day, I pray and pray. Then I go, well, God never talk, you know, despite my many, many prayers, you know, and other things I put in my prayer, but he never talk. If I am supposed to check with him on everything in my life, and yet he doesn't talk, how am I going to follow his, you know, his way? So, again, I found myself facing a big difficulties, and I was very confused. But it bothers me a lot, because I know what to do, but I cannot put it in practice in my life. And I know he's going to be very angry. I hope. I would say I'm very fortunate in a way that he rebuked me in this way, but also that is very fearsome, you know. If one day, I hope it never happened to you, but one day if God rebuke you, you're going to be very, very afraid, and I'm very, very afraid of that. So I go, I got to do this right, because I don't want it to happen again. Go, Caroline, didn't I tell you, you know? So I go, okay. So I put it in prayer, and I begin to read Bibles. And finally, I realized that God never talk, you know. In your prayer, you ask many questions. You thought, God will give me a clear direction, and I'll just stick to it and follow it. He never talk. But he does talk, though. He does. He actually speak through the words in the Bible. I was just never able to hear them in the past. I did not know why. I guess when we have our life 100% focused in our work, in our life, we cannot hear. And I never knew that before. As I read Bible every day, I cannot recall when it began to happen, but every time when I open the Bible, he began to speak to me through the messages. And I never felt that way before. And I begin to feel his presence every time when I open the Bible. And after I read and read and read, I finally found all the answer to my question about buying a house. He did talk, you know. I finally found that if we really need to devote our life in God, which part of our life will be devoted? It's not an issue of affordability. It is how we're going to spend our life and our resources. Moses once wrote in Psalm chapter 90. Let's turn to Psalm real quick. He wrote in Psalm. I was reading this passage, Psalm chapter 90, verse 10. The length of our days is 70 years or 80. If we have the strength, yet the span is but trouble and sorrow, and for they quickly pass and they fly away. Verse 12. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. All of a sudden, I realized that if I really gonna be devoting to God, and yet, and we all know that our life will come to an end. This is a fact. This is not an assumption. We all know this is a universal truth. Why do I live a lifestyle as if this life is gonna continue forever? If I truly believe that God needs to come first in my life, why I lead a life that as if there's no God in my life? Why I spend my resources in a way as if my life is going to continue forever and there's no God in my life? Why I educate my children as if there's no God in my life? If I truly believe God is the head of our household, why I do what I did as if there's no God in my life? And why I continue to ask God in my prayer, do you think should I buy a house or not? You know, should I buy, you know? Why? The answer is so clear. It's all in his word. Why I still think that I have God, God never talks. God never talks. He does talk through the word. And that reminded me of King David. God loved King David for his obedient heart. So many times in the Psalms that David wrote, he asked God, teach me your way. Guide me. He asked God for everything, every decision in his life. And because of that, God valued him. God loved him. God loved David because of this. Let's turn to Psalm 25. Psalm 25, verse 4. In which David asked God, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path. Guide me in your truth and teach me. So many times, day after day, David asked the same question every day, meaning that he remembered God in his life. If we turn, we can turn to another one, Psalm 143. Verse 10, again, David asked God, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Because you are my God. Because I'm devoted to you. You got to teach me. Teach me to do your will. Another one, Psalm 27. So many times, David, remember that every day. Psalm 27, verse 11. Again, David asked God, teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path. So many times, as I went through Psalms, so many times, David asked God, because you are my God, teach me, help me, lead me to walk in your path. And that's what I need to remember. In order to show that I am devoted to God every day, we are very easily, because with so many things going on in our life, we are very easily to get sidetracked. But we need to learn from, I need to learn from David to ask God to remember, because since I determined to accept God in my life, I need to remember to ask him every day. If I could see my weakness and mistake, I would have corrected. But the problem is I can't. If you ask me to name 10 weaknesses of my friend or my kids, I could easily name 20, you know, in a few seconds. But if you ask me, Caroline, name 10 of your weaknesses, I go, I'll get back to you tomorrow, you know, because I cannot see my mistake. I can't. If I could, I wish I could. If I could, I would have corrected. That's why. But God would have mercy on us if you ask him to show you the weakness that you cannot see. That's the only way. We are all blinded before we accept Jesus as our God. We might not know it. A lot of time we thought we could see very well. Let's turn to Psalm 36. Verse 9. Highlight this verse. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. We were all blind before, and yet we did not know. We thought we could see very clearly. When I saw this, when I read this verse, I was in shock. Wow, David, how did he see this, you know? It is in God's light we begin to see the true light. We might see many things before that we thought they are true, but they are not. If we fail to see them in the perspective of God, we really cannot see that well. It is when we see things in God's light, in my life, first time, I saw a light inside of me. And that shows all the imperfection in my life. A lot of us came to this church, but yet we can never able to make a decision to follow God. As I look back in my life, I finally realized one thing that I never knew before, that my journey of faith had really never started until the point in my life that I determined to follow God. It doesn't matter how many years I have been coming to church. It really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. It did not begin until the point of my life that I determined that I am going to follow God. And that is merely a starting point, just a starting point. It doesn't mean that I determined to follow God. Yay, I made it. No, that's just a starting point. A lot of us have experienced the love of God in our life. At that point, I'm sure that you could recall, you felt God was with you. You were so happy. You wish you could be God. You wish your life could be like this forever when you receive a message from God. But guess what happened? A lot of time, we were so happy and we walk away from that point. And we completely forgot about it. We never never came to a decision to determine to follow God. It's like a child wander and pass a beautiful mansion, and this child peek in the mansion from a corner of the window, saw the glory and the beauty and the joy inside of the mansion. This child was so happy, so excited that he saw all that beautiful thing inside of a mansion. Once he saw it, he walked away. He never bothered to look for that door, never. Go, wow, what a beautiful, I wish I could be inside. Oh, it's nice to be inside of that beautiful mansion, and walk away. Never took time to find a door, never strive to enter into that mansion. And that is a picture of our life. Many times we come across the grace of God. When God shows us a grace, we are so happy. We are like that child that we glimpse a small portion of God's grace and his treasure. We were so happy. But we never bother to stick to it, to find that door, to strive to enter into God's kingdom. And I know that some of us have already made that determination and try very, very hard. If you have already made that determination, don't lose your heart. Let's turn to Psalm 37. Oops. 37, verse 18. The days of the blameless are known to the Lord. Sometimes I wonder in my life that many days pass, you know. But do you know something? None of those days will not be remembered by God. Only those days you try and struggle, you try your best to be blameless. According to David, he said, only the days that you try to be blameless, those days God will remember. Those days are precious inside of God. All the other days, you know, you enjoy your life, those days will not be remembered. Now, we're going to think about when every one of us go home, we need to concentrate about what kind of decision you need to check with God. You will be surprised. You will be surprised to find that many decisions actually went by. You made them and you did not even take a second thought of it. It just went past by and you failed to think about those decisions in perspective of God. You'll be surprised. For example, the friends you choose to be associated with, that is a decision. Did you ever bother to check if the friends you chose to be associated with, are they according to God's will? Is God pleasing about that? Decision you make in your life, for example, every day, how we spent our resources. Did we bother to check with God? Is God pleased about that? How we chose to spend our time. We probably never bothered to really sit down and detail out, you know, how we spend our time every day. But again, that is another decision. How you chose your lifestyle. Is that lifestyle according to God's way? You're going to find many, many decisions. How you plan your weekend tomorrow, Sunday, for example, a simple one. Did you ever bother to think about it in perspective of God? I'm obligated to share this message with you because I'm hoping that one day you, every one of you, will receive your credit inside of a God. That you will not think, wait a second, didn't I do this and did that for God? Didn't I do so much? What happened to all the effort I did in the past? why God see me as a person without credit. If your heart is not devoted to God, you have no credit inside of God. Here I conclude my message. Let's all pray inside.